how did you get a mess body in the first place? How is it that you came to have a fixation upon messed bodies, and you unravel this fixation or obsession or concentration upon having a messed body, and you have achieved the location of the theta body in the process. You just run how it is that this pre-clear came to possess and had an obsession about his messed body. And you get his location of his theta body. That follows, you see. He all of a sudden discovers that his mess body is not native to him, that it's something else, and that he is not necessarily solely, only, and completely a guardian of this mess body. The second he discovers this, his sphere of activity gets much wider, much, much wider. He can start going out then into the upper number dynamics, but until that, he'll have a hard time doing so. At the level where most pre-clears are, you will find that these people believe that they are a lot of other people and that there's a big oneness about the universe and about existence and about identity. That there's a sort of a, that they are part of everybody else and so on. This is part of the same confusion. This individual has thrown himself over so many mess bodies, he has entangled himself in so many lives on a mess level that he has come to forget his own individuality and is a sort of mixed up in the pool of the general individuality. At that level, his brotherhood, you might say, with the rest of the race is pretty average. This whole problem, as just saying outside, this whole problem is one of steps on the tone scale. As you go up the tone scale, you reach each time new levels of ARC with your own kind. And reaching these new levels of ARC with your own kind, brotherhood becomes more possible. Close, loving association with your fellows is actually only possible well above two. And these confusion levels where everybody just thinks that everybody is one, so on, that's pretty low compared to a real operating efficiency. At a level where you can obtain trust, where you can trust, feel confidence in, and never feel that you have to arm yourself against, that level would be the level of a true brotherhood. Enforced brotherhoods are many. There have been very many times in the past when people have had enforced ARC substituted for actual ARC. They are not in affinity with their fellows at all. They're merely forced to be. And they'll go through the social graces and they will very viciously hate their fellows the second there is no need to go on being an enforced ARC with them. They do not trust people. They have no confidence in, and they would not turn their back to individuals. No, that's a bad level, actually. But that happens to be the level at where the bulk of this race is located. And with good reason. An enforced ARC produces these various effects of perverted and twisted affection. But as you go up the line, you find a real strong bond amongst your own kind. That's why I say if we obtain a number of theta clears, the chances of them becoming wide apart and separated and fighting with each other is rather faint. Because fortunately, the ethic level goes on up as a person's sanity goes on up. You'd find a small group probably operating in good harmony and operating with considerable individuality. The third dynamic and the first dynamic can operate together. But you have to have very able people on the first dynamic in order to operate a smooth third dynamic operation. On low levels of the tone scale, you find people will use the third dynamic solely and simply to protect and excuse the first dynamic. In that wise, you find individuals who are saying, a group exists solely to protect me and my self-determinism. Therefore, I mustn't upset the self-determinism of any part of this group. I must go on and be autonomous and so forth. Well, they haven't got a group. At a higher level than that, a real group, it's all for the group. That's a communistic cell operates that way. For instance, the individual, the first dynamic, is absolutely nothing. It's the group. Everything for the group. Life or death for the group only. And as far as self-determinism for the individual is concerned, it is completely overcome by the self-determinism of the group. There's only one self-determinism there, and that is the self-determinism of the group. And the group utilizes that self-determinism to survive and to make itself as affluent and as powerful and as well cared for as possible. When they want something done, then two or three of the first dynamics go out and do it, and if they fail, they die. That's all there is to it. There's no compromise. And a third dynamic group operating in that fashion, sacrificing the first dynamic 100%, actually is capable of getting a considerable amount of work done and actually will produce a level of loyalty and cooperation which is not possible operating on the first dynamic only. Now, we have to go well up the tone scale in order to get a third dynamic group which will survive all by itself and for the group and for the individual too. Why? It's because high on the tone scale, you get greater and greater spreads out into the dynamics. As a person goes up the tone scale, his ability to control his environment is wider and wider and wider. It includes outer, further dynamics. So, until he has controlled all of one, it is almost impossible for him to control two. And until he has controlled two, it is almost impossible for him to either control or operate successfully in three. And until he is able to operate wholly successfully in three, he can't operate in four, and so on. It's an expanding perimeter. If you had a group today on the face of the earth which was operating on the third dynamic, very heavily on the third dynamic, which also included the first dynamic, it would be people who were so facile, who could so easily and so quickly see the proper solutions, there would never be any argument amongst them as to what was best. And they would also be very active. They would not be slothful. They would be going out at a terrific velocity. This earth today would fall into the possession of that group with such speed, nobody could prevent it. Even the group couldn't prevent it. It is not that anybody is forming up such a core to do that, but actually, any group operating first and third simultaneously on a high level of survival would be so far above any existing group on the face of Earth today that people would start around looking at it because it would be cause. It would be able to cause things which no other group could cause, and the people would start looking at it for solutions. And it, in order to survive in that world and keep itself from being bothered particularly, would start to take on more and more problems. Anybody, as he starts coming up the tone scale, starts inheriting. He inherits more and more and more and more and more and more. And his only relief, his only help, is to keep on going up the tone scale. Now, we have a way of doing that. In the past, everybody who inherited anything so it's pressed down the tone scale because he went into ARC of things that needed help. And they needed help so much and so strongly that he went on down the tone scale. Because they keep pulling at him and doing aberrated things to him, he keeps going down the tone scale. So, all right, now it's a sort of a contest to keep it processed out fast enough. You keep on going up the tone scale and you'll just inherit more and more and more and more and more. You can't help but do it. That'll happen to any one of you in your own community. You just sit on the front porch and you'd right on happening. Can't stop it from happening. It's a natural sequence. Because if you go up to a point of one which has the potentiality of being a very strong part of a group, the group will locate itself to find you, put it in. It just works that way. So, when we talk about affinity, one for another, this technique does not in any degree try to go on an enforced ARC basis. It doesn't try to do any type of processing which will upset ARC specifically and directly, but oh, what it does to it. Very interesting. You must understand the mechanism by which people come to feel protection and love for, an aberrated lower level protection and love for. You see, there are many levels on the tone scale where people feel protection and love for. But unfortunately, this business about the body is one of the lowest levels. It's obsessive. It's psychotic. There is no reason why you can't feel considerable affection for mess bodies without feeling a terrible compulsion to just be a mess body only. That'd be quite different, you see. You would have neglected a great deal of your own self-determinism if every part of your self-determinism were devoted wholly and exclusively to the care and feeding of a mess body. So if it's reductive of self-determinism, it is automatically reductive on the tone scale. Well, that's how you got there. ARC with the body. Enforced brotherhood with the body. You got there to a point of that, and then you started to get enforced brotherhood with other bodies, and the next thing you know, you got all across the boards. You start thinking of yourself as parts of this and parts of that. Parts, actually, of aberrated groups. And being parts of aberrated groups and aberrated groups, you naturally lost a great deal of the determinism necessary to bail yourself out. So we have to examine the mechanism of how does an individual come to regard or be fond of or protect something. What is the mechanism? We've taken care of it, actually, in Technique 80. Technique 80 is a process that tells you what you have to process. This is a mechanism that builds up to a very close identified thing, and very close identified thing would be a complete smashed-in, unidentified affinity. Now, how do people get into that state? Basically, and at first, individuals did not believe themselves to be, even vaguely, in brotherhood with messed bodies. Do you think that you belong to the great brotherhood of Great Danes? No, you don't. You're rather apt to be short and fast with Great Danes or cats or beef steers, or you realize that they're for your use. But if you went into close affinity and did nothing but protect shorthorn cattle, you get pretty obsessive about cattle after a while. You've seen them do it. You know people who have life continuums for aunts and uncles and dogs and cars and bedsteads. They're doing life continuums. They fail completely to help. And finally, the last apathy is they abandon their own identity and live on a life continuum. You can solve more cases using life continuum. Now, what do you think happens with a mess body? Same cycle. Here's a mess body, and you have, of course, a native feeling of aesthetics and so forth, and one day you're going along and you're paying attention much to mess bodies. They're just mess bodies. You're going along on your job doing things, and you suddenly see this mess body, and it attracts you somehow or other. You say, isn't that a nice mess body? Like, isn't that a cute puppy? And some horrible thing like this might happen. You might go over and wrap yourself around this mess body and just say, feels nice. Yeah, nice, silky. Well, that's fine. Nothing's happened there. You're just able to appreciate something aesthetically. And supposing you wrapped yourself around it and it kicked the bucket instantly. That would certainly be a shock to you. You say, what happened? Well, you didn't understand this particular mechanic, that a messed body, when crushed, dies. And if you threw in a couple of thousand kilowatts on both sides of the messed body, it'd just sort of go up in smoke. And you shouldn't do that, but you don't realize at that time that you shouldn't do that. And you say, gee, what happened to it? I couldn't have done it. There it lies. And unfortunately, you possess, at the moment you say there it lies, you've got the facsimile of it kicking off. You ever see a little girl go up and take hold of a kitten and squeeze it because it loved it so much? Loved it so much and squeezed it, and all of a sudden the kitten's deader than a mackerel. And the little girl says, what happened? very upset. By the way, that's an actual case. I won't say whose. I mean, going up and saying, "What a nice mess body. What a nice mess body." It's dead. Now, there's also the business of one realizes that his world was run all right, and here you are, you're living in a certain place, and you're conducting your affairs in a certain way, and there's a billy goat keeps running into the front yard. And you say, "I don't want any billy goats around here." And so you get a gate, and you shut the gate, and you say, "Bye, billy goat." But the billy goat butts through the gate, and he comes in anyhow. The next day, there's two billy goats come in there. And you say, and the billy goats go on eating up the porch swing and butting people when they come to call on you and so forth. You'll eventually say, you'll eventually pick up a rock, and you will say, "You billy goats beat it," and pitch the rock at them, not intending to hit them at all, and you didn't hit them. But the billy goats didn't beat it. They stayed right there, and they kept coming back. So the next time you threw the rock, you did hit them. And they still didn't go away, so you got a little bit stronger weapon. And the next time you saw them come around, you shot them with a BB gun pellet or a slingshot or something that really stung. You said to yourself, "We'll just estimate our weapons." Of course, that depends on a good weapon estimation. Supposing your estimation on what hurt billy goats was so bad that you went and bought yourself a Holland Express 50 caliber rifle. And you said, "This will discourage those billy goats from coming around." Billy goat splatters over half the front yard. And the other billy goat stands there and bleats, wonders what's happened to its mate, and so forth. And you say to yourself, justifiably, you say, "Well, that fixed him. He shouldn't have done it." Who shouldn't have done it? I guess I shouldn't have done it either. He's awful dead. Messy. Here was some nicely organized mess that was putting along just fine, and all of a sudden I splattered it all over the terrain. Furthermore, dead things have a way of making themselves antipathetic to living things, particularly an August sun. You see how horribly degraded a body can get. Dead, decayed, messy. One of the finest passages I know of this is in T.H. White's Witch in the Wood, whereby the boys go out to hunt a unicorn. It's well worth reading if you want to know a cycle of complete degradation and complete dog-conscious boys to finally realize what they've done in killing this unicorn. Because there's such a beautiful unicorn, and they didn't mean it any harm, but after they killed it, it was too heavy, and they had finally cut its head off, and that was horrible. To get its head off, and then they had to drag the head back, but it kind of got bumpy and gritty, and there was a lot of gravel, sharp gravel, and it cut the head to pieces, and it was really a mess. They were getting it for their mother for a birthday present. Well, the sequence on that would run into the fact that the next time they thought about killing a unicorn, they wouldn't really think about killing a unicorn. They'd say no. But some hunter would come along and say, "You know, I'm going out and kill a unicorn." And those boys would probably attack him with staves. "No, you're not going to kill any unicorn. Not where we're around." That is your natural conclusion. They would go all the way through and start doing a life continuum on the unicorn. Well, after you've shot this billy goat with a Holland Express rifle, don't be too surprised if once in a while, instead of belching, you say, "Man." You'll find more preclears carrying on a life continuum in this fashion for animals. And every preclear you know is carrying on a life continuum for a mess body. For a large number of mess bodies, to the point where they are completely identified with these mess bodies. Sequences like this. They have this place. It's a small abode, and it's on a mountainside. These fellows did. They're theta bodies. They're individuals. They aren't suddenly filmy somethings. They're just individuals. And they have this nice place on the mountainside, and they like that, and they like to sit there and watch the rain clouds go across the valley and so on. And now, you're suddenly going to these hikers don't keep coming up and throwing garbage cans all over it. After a while, they get tired of it. So the leading hiker one day comes by to throw garbage cans and picnic papers and so forth all over this pretty little sylvan pasture. And one of the theta bodies goes over and gives him what the theta body considers a nip. You just give him a little, to short-circuit him a little bit, you know. Hardly anything to it. Of course, this fellow goes into a horrible writhe and falls down dead. I didn't mean to do that. Well, life goes on, and this theta body, this theta being, doesn't consider that this is very horrible. You don't consider this is very horrible, but the guy did as the days went by, sort of swell up and bloat in the sun, and it wasn't very nice. And you get awfully annoyed one day. You're going down through these canyons and everything, and there's somebody strung a fence across the canyon there, and you've been sort of interested in the animals getting there. And you see that messed animals go there to drink. And you sort of like to watch the animals come down to drink at this place, and somebody's fenced it. You'd say to yourself, Well, the fellow comes down to finish up the fencing or something like that. Maybe there's still a place where the animals can go. Maybe you broke the fence down and the animals can still go through there, and so on. And the next time the guy comes down to repair this fence, you say, well, this time I'll be careful. I'll only go that much, and I'll drive him away from here. So you say, and he falls down dead, too. Only the top of his head comes off this time. You say, I didn't mean to do that. Then you have the fact that you can pick up sensation from these mess bodies. So you get the habit. Beautiful, beautiful implant gives you sexual impulses. It aberrates sexual impulse. And you use this haver one day, all of a sudden you feel something come over you, so you blanket a mess body or a couple of mess bodies. That term blanket you can use as a technical term. It means to settle down over a mess body, one or more mess bodies, the blanket. So you blanket this person or persons, and you aren't very careful of them. And maybe when you finish up, they're dead. Just like that. You run that out of more free clears. Because there's terrific high level of sensation, zing, bang, and then apathy, death, or agony on the part of the mess body. And you're in close emotional contact with it, with a desire to be in that contact at the start of it. And bang. Boy, remorse, regret, you kind of have to cry yourself off of it. You got a nice facsimile. You've got the facsimile now. Just keep that up a few times, and then one day you're going along, you're flying away to Mount Cap, and you're enjoying yourself and everything, then you notice a theta being settling down over a small boy. The last mess body that died when you went into an orgy of this character was a small boy. And you say to yourself, oh, that theta being shouldn't do that. Because you see, if you don't protect the thing, you become the thing that's attacking it. You don't want to be that. So you say, I'll protect that boy. And you settle out, all of a sudden, blanket this boy and defend the boy. Just bite off anything that comes in at him. Of course, the boy's kind of surprised and half scared to death. Later on, when you try to run this, you'll get his facsimile of being frightened. But you protected him. But he survived it all right. Well, you don't become unconscious of what you're doing for an awful long time. You do this just repeatedly. You start off on a crusade of defending small boys. And then you finally set yourself up, and possibly maybe there's a small group of small boys in the woods that they've sort of learned that you're around. Maybe they build a cairn of stones or something of the sort, like the Greeks used to do to the wood god. And you're the theta body that lived around there. And you protect them. You see that when they lose marbles, they get more marbles. You take care of them one way or the other. And one of them gets sick one day, and you go over and try to pull him through it. And you don't pull him through it. You get the bad curve. And you're all the time going down tone scale. Fortunately, there's a terrific depth of tone scale to go down. So you do it. You can do it for centuries, for thousands of years, really, without finally hanging up and going psycho on it. It's just enormous latitude allowable. You can do it over and over and over and over and times and times and times. so that you just process a few of these and a fellow becomes alert to what he's doing and what he did. That's fortunate, because the theta body has great capability and great capacity for recovery and so on. But as you went back through the past, as you went along through the past, you gradually became more and more and more addicted to protection of, sympathy for, protection of. And every time you blanketed a messed body, it became a little more difficult for you to get off of it afterwards. Until, finally, one day, through all of your other mechanisms, you didn't get off of it. You stayed with it. And there you were. But understand, when you did this, you were actually felt perfectly content and justified to do it. You said, I'm going to take care of this body. I'm going to take care of this being. I'm going to nurse this being along, and I'm going to take care of this being, and I'm going to make sure that it gets along fine and make it smart and make it admired and so on. You're just devoting yourself actually to the care of this. Out of all of these tremendous numbers of overt acts and protections and failures and so forth, you finally get down to a point where you sacrifice your own identity to this mess body, and you say, I'm doing a life continuum now with a mess body. Now, what happens? You take care of this body and so forth, but inexplicably the thing starts to get old. It gets older and older and older. And you try to make it young again and frisky and try to help it. And, of course, you're the only one that has any thoughts about it at all. And you try to take care of it and try to get older. What happens? Does a little boy remember his first dogs? You processed a lot of pre-clears. Do they remember their allies vividly? They sure don't. Well, one day, the theta being has... He's living now as a mess being, and the mess being dies. Oh, this is a horrible shock. No being there. It's loss. This is real loss. Big loss. Gone. And he will go through and pick up another one somewhere or other. And by the way, in the early days, these were picked up in youth. They were not picked up as babies or anything like that. You just go off and you find another one. And eventually get to a point where you devote yourself to it. You got to a point finally where you didn't think you could exist unless you had a mess body. And every time you lost one of these mess bodies, it wiped out everything about it. What happened? What do you do with a baby's toys after the baby's dead? If you lose a child, what do you do with its toys? You keep them out in the mantelpiece? No, you sure don't. You bury them deep in a drawer someplace where you won't look at them. Well, that's what the mess body does with all the facsimiles. I mean, the theta body does with all the facsimiles of the mess bodies it's lost. It just throws them aside. It says, no. That was yesterday. I'll do better tomorrow somehow or other. And each cycle, it gets into a point finally where it picks them up as babies. And each cycle as it goes along will go along just hope, going to be big, strong, ambitious, going to do for it everything I'm supposed to do for it, get up higher and higher in life, going to be better and better, and then all of a sudden realizes the same cycle is being followed through again. You don't need any implants to black out between lives when you look at this mechanism, because it's an automatic wipeout. A person just lays aside the loss, the failure, because this is a big failure, the loss of this mess body. Big failure. Now, you become addicted to the care of mess body. You have a natural liking for living things. That's natural. But an addiction, a life continuum for all these mess bodies consecutively is very far from natural. As a matter of fact, it's quite insane. Because after a while, supposing you had somebody, you knew somebody who was nothing but a series of life continuums on all of his allies, and he wasn't there at all himself, you'd say, gee whiz, he's sort of funny. Well, that's your pre-clear. He's a life continuum for all of these bodies. And he doesn't admit, even to himself, that any of these are his own experience. They belong to the body. They belong to the body. They belong to the body. So what is the process by which you undo this? The process by which you undo it is to locate with an E-meter or just traveling, making the person travel on the track. You locate here the first time or one of the very early times when the state of being of the individual blanketed for any reason whatsoever a met body. Run that. Run that very thoroughly. Then get a next time when the state of being blanketed a mess body for any reason whatsoever. And then run a third one. Locate it and run that incident out. The incident you've run, but you've got it, run it out. And then find at least three or four second dynamic blankets. Times when the preclear has blanketed beings or animals on a sexual line, and run each one of those as itself out. Every one of these is an overt act. And very often, they go back to, as the motivator, the hammer. This one that makes the person black on one side and white on the other. The hammer is usually the motivator for those sexual ones. But you'll get blankets without that one. You would have gotten blankets anyhow. So you get the sexual adventures, which are run against this, run against that. Now you'll find that each one of these, when it's an overt, you'll find motivators kicking around the track that you have to run halfway, but they'll just show up automatically. You run the motivator, run the overts, run the motivators, the overts. So run at least three times when your preclear has blanketed mess bodies for any purpose whatsoever, usually way back. And run those all out, and you have to resolve them as maybes because each one is. And then run at least four times, four incidents where your preclear has blanketed messed bodies, one or two messed bodies at the same time on the second dynamic for the second dynamic reason. By the time you've done that, your preclear ought to be pretty well differentiated with regard to which is he. He'll all of a sudden recover recognition of what he is. He'll know what he is by that time. He'll know where his state of body is, too. Now, having done that, and by the way, 20 such incidents of each kind here would not be too many to run to achieve that goal, because it doesn't take too long to run them with attention units and so forth. Run the incident which we will call the duplicator. We'll call this incident a duplicator. Here is a state of being, and here is the individual which he is today. In solid lines, the individual which he is today. He thinks he's this mess body. Now, you find he's pretty well differentiated on these. We'll make him find the one here that's represented by the dotted line, the facsimile that he has confused with his present identity. Now, that facsimile is ridge. It's got ridges on it, and it's fitted pretty well over his present mess body. But it's an old facsimile, and you have to run it as ridges. You'll find out it's a holder. He's holding on to this mess body, and he may or may not be trying to get off of it, but it's a mess body that he unsuccessfully tried to leave. It's a facsimile which says, I couldn't get off of it. This old one is a point where he got hung up with it. Now that's the duplicator. Here he is, and actually in his state of beingness, he has a facsimile that he is, thinks he is. And it's thousands or hundreds of thousands or millions of years old. In other words, let me draw that for you again, just to make sure you know. I'll draw it for you the other way now. Here he was, and he had a state of being here. He had this state of being, and this is maybe a couple million years ago. He had this state of being, he had hold of this state of being, pardon me, he had hold of this mess being, and here is his theta being surrounding this mess body, and he had hold of it for some purpose or other, some reason or other. He was exerting pressure on all sides of it. It was actually possibly struggling or something, and it was making a ridge pattern. It's a pattern which is just like a shell. It's almost solid in this facsimile. And he had hold of this mess body, and then he tried to leave, and he didn't make it. He didn't make it. Now, today, your preclear is walking around, and here is his theta, the solid lines this time. Here is your theta body, and here is the mess body he's holding on to. And he's got the old facsimile he's packing right along with him, complete with its ridges and everything else. He's packing that old facsimile right with him. And actually, it's probably his arthritis. It's possibly his nose. Because these ridges, he's trying so hard to hold on to this old one, he'll try to hold on to this body with this old one. And it's liable to smash his nose out of line. It'll aberrate him one way or the other. In other words, it'll aberrate his physical features. Because he's trying to make this body into a duplicate of the old body, just willy-nilly, unwittingly. Because he can't get off of this body, he re-stimulates the other one sometime or another in an operation. Somebody tried to leave, and he didn't find he could do it. So then he's got these two. He's got this best body and this facsimile. Actually, in some preclears, you'll find several of these duplicators. There's several facsimiles there. They're in re-stimulation. And so there he is in a shell and so on. You'll get many preclears have the feeling that there's an actual ridge to them themselves, that they are a ridge, that this area around here is a ridge, and that their theta beingness is itself an actual physical shell. They'll think this is the case because of these old duplicator facsimiles. Well, find that facsimile, the duplicator, and run it. You'll have a time with that because by that time, he should have differentiated well enough, but he'll still have a tendency to say, let's see, which body am I? Oh, yes. Yeah, I can run this and run that and so on. You have to run out these times when he was unable to get off in order to get him to a position where he can just step off. Some people will be found who can do this right now. Some people have to be audited through half a dozen incidents to do this. Some people have to be audited through 25 incidents to do this. Some people may be 200 before they can do this. And the process of stepping off would be thoughtful. Now, you can mock up with a facsimile a mess body of your own, or you can take over another mess body. Now, here is another typical incident, and it may be necessary for you to run this incident before you. Here was your figure two. Here was your mess, your theta being. Here's your theta being. He's doing all right. And he had a mess body. He had a mess body, and everything was just fine. And he had this mess body, and he was just doing swell. By the way, our prenatals re-stimulative to this. Guy, a mess body in the womb, is putting up a sphere. Well, a body and a baby in a womb has a sphere around it. And a mess body, a theta being, very often has one of these old facsimiles with a ridge. You know, where this area is a ridge. You know, energy is piled up there to make a ridge. And the next thing you know, he joins this mess body in the womb. And it almost automatically keys in an old duplicator. Yeah, this would be because this is a body in a sphere. And that's the way he feels about it. And that's why, this whole process is why prenatals go into re-stimulation so easily. You don't need to audit any prenatals anymore, but you'll find out they'll hang up with it. All right. Here was this theta being. He was doing perfectly fine. He got a hold of this mess body, and he had it animated, and he was doing all right by it. And all of a sudden, one day, some other theta being came along and blanketed him. Took a look here and didn't see that there was a theta being on him, on this mess body, and settled over it. Bing. And then you have this being, who was here originally, struggling and trying to blow this other one off. And the one who blankets him and so forth sees a terrific upset and all that sort of thing, and it makes quite an turbulence. gets very upset. Later on, free clears, we begin to wonder, I wonder if there are any fate of beings around here. They get scared of them because they've been jumped on accidentally, blanketed every once in a while.
Now, here then is a bad situation. Now, it's also bad for the exterior
being, the one who does the blanketing. Because he says, here's just a mess body, and he comes down over this thing, and all of a sudden it starts developing voltage. It goes zing. And it's uncomfortable. So you can get a confusion where this happens on the track. So don't run into an incident of this character, which is the double play. Don't run into this situation and wonder why it's so confused. Because you'll all of a sudden, he'll say, yes, I know where my mess, I know where my theta body was, because I can feel it crushing here. What he can feel is another theta body crushing him. There's a double. Now, the mystics had what they used to call concentric shells. They could see the man to be built this way. And each one of these shells was a new identity. So on. Actually, it's a takeoff on these incidents here. It's a takeoff on the instance there in figure two. It's shells. Now, as you run this, you will be able to find concentric shells and run them one after the other. You'll find a lot of these old ridges, but they're just old ridges is what they are. And they're pretty heavy, they're pretty messy, they can burn down rather easily, but you can free an individual this way. Always use technique 80 in reducing these things. Now, those are most of the conditions involving this, and I want to add a word on to energy running. I made you a list of the bouncers, deniers, holders, and so forth. You'll find out that your preclear is not at all willing, sometimes, to go very deeply into this. And he'll only go into it so far, and he'll sort of bounce out of it. That's why it's very good to run this on a meter. You can tell whether he's running or not. He'll say, yes, I'm running it. Yes, I'm running it. And the meter's just sitting there, gradually rising. Well, I went through it again. The devil, he did. What happens when you get that sort of a situation is he settled down over this area, and there was a dispersal going on. And he settles over this area, and he runs into this dispersal. And, of course, the dispersal bounces him. So as he goes into the incident, there is a dispersal going on, and he can't settle over this best body because of the dispersal. Usually that's a duplicator going. This inner body starts dispersing energy to drive this other one off. All right, here's your dispersal going, and your free clear is bouncing. What did you used to do with the earliest techniques we had? On a bouncer, you made him repeat the bouncer until he got into the incident again. You desensitized the bouncer, in other words. Well, in this case, may tell him when he finds you, he gets it all right, and he struggles for a minute, and then all of a sudden he's off of it again. He's gone. He says, yes, I'm running it. Oh, no, he's not. He's bounced. You can tell whether he's bounced or not because he's suddenly calm about the whole thing. He gets excited, and then he's calm. He's bouncing. He's hitting an energy dispersal. Well, get him to run the feeling of energy exuding from what he's trying to settle over. And just get him to run that, run it from a central source, and all of a sudden he reduces that particular dispersal, and he goes right into the incident. In such a wise, if he sticks, you know that he's hit ridges. He's hit a ridge. He's stuck. And if he's running along fine, it's an energy flow, it's just a plain energy flow, he'll go on and reduce the incident. Now, what do we have to know in particular to safeguard against? It's just the same thing in technique 80, is don't let him run too much motivator without running some overt. Don't let him run too much overt without running some motivator. He'll tell you what the motivators are, and he'll tell you what the overts are, because they're sitting right there. They're not hard to find. They're usually part of the picture that he's getting. He's getting some sort of a picture while he's getting the other side of the picture. So remember that he can come off of things. Now, what's a convincer? A real convincer for this technique. How would you like to be able to get a tactile? Maybe for the first time you ever get a tactile, but something that feels like a tactile, and you get it 2 feet from the body or 5 inches out from the head or something like that, where there isn't any nerve line.
Maybe a Freeclear's never felt anything in recalling facsimiles, and all of a sudden, he's getting a tactile, clear out here. He's touching something out there. And you're running an old facsimile, and you're getting a sense of touch. Maybe you're getting it here. Maybe you're getting a sense of touch here. Maybe all of a sudden he's got a sense of touch that's pretty solid right out here. Well, don't let him get just a faint shadow of touch when you're running a facsimile, because it's the mess body that gets perceptics. The real good perceptics you can get on a case, you get with the theta body. Pardon me for mixing that up. The real perceptics are those that you get with the theta body, the theta being. Mess body perceptics are faint compared to the perceptics of which the theta being is capable. So you want to get a sense of touch. Now, I can't tell you too much about sight on theta beings. You don't have to know about it anyhow. You can figure it out yourself. That's an easy one. But the sense of touch is something that you should remark on, because you can get a sense of touch exterior to the body. And if he can't get this sense of touch in a facsimile outside himself, Lord knows what he's running. Because it'll be there. You can get it. The only reason he won't get it is this dispersal effect, probably. Or because you've just hung him up in too many of these facsimiles and he's in a sort of an apathy line. But if he doesn't get a sense of touch around himself or outside of himself, you just haven't run it very far. Now, you could possibly start one of these instances through, run it through a half a dozen times, and then all of a sudden, after you run it through a half a dozen times, he'd say, "Oh, that's fine, I'm not worried about it anymore." He probably hit it once and bounced. He hit a dispersal. Bounced. He's not in the incident. He hasn't been in the incident. He isn't worried about it because he's running away from it so fast, he's clear on up the time track away from it. You make sure that he runs it until he gets a tactile on the incident. And a tactile from the incident. You make sure that he runs it that long. You understand? Don't think that because the theta body is filmy, thin, ethereal, ephemeral, that it isn't solid on its contact with the mass universe. It sure is. And on recall, you will get a stronger tactile perception than your pre-clear has been able to get with his mess body, because all mess body perceptics are secondary perceptics to theta body perceptics. Your strong perceptics are theta perceptics. The heaviest incidents which your pre-clear has run since he's been in processing were unwittingly theta being incidents. He didn't know quite what they were, and the somatics didn't fit in the right place. His arms were sort of sticking through here in some fashion or other, and so on. But they're the strong ones. He ran these strongly, and all of a sudden he had this weird somatic over here, and it was apparently a head over here on this side, coming halfway through his head. So what you've got, the theta body, and it suddenly throw this facsimile into place, and it just happens to penetrate through this mess body, and if it touches the mess body, it makes ridges, because the mess body has some matter in it which conflicts with the old energy flows. You see how this is? Now, what is the theta body after you get all through with it? Is the body capable of possessing any other body, but it can also do a mock-up and be its own body? It is a composite of all the memories which a person could have. There are two types of theta clear. The theta being, which is cleared of a necessity or compulsion to have a body, and a theta being, which is cleared all the way on the track. Well, make the one the necessity not to have a body before you make the other. I would recommend, if you process pre-clears, to make them very well, don't tell them what you're trying to process. Just tell them what you're looking for. And you'll be able to process more, and you'll be able to process it faster than processing mess bodies. But if you must process mess bodies, process it in this lifetime only. And if you have to go back into the past about mess bodies, let the fellow think he's a mess body and process him on the track, the whole track, the theta being track. The fellow will process back along that track and think he's a mess body. He'll still have a confusion on it, but he can still run the incident. But the easiest, the kindest thing to do is acquainting with this technique. That is to say, start him running, describe to him what you want him to run, show it to him on the E-meter, make him run it, clear him up. That's the fastest thing you can do, because the basic aberration of the human mind is that it is taking care of a mess body only, and can only take care of a mess body, and through many, many, many failures, can't even make a good job of that.